the wonder of it all. He loves us. Thank God this morning He cares about you and I. And that last verse, it says, He talks about the coming, when He comes again. And we certainly are thinking and hoping, longing for that coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are to stay faithful and true to Him until that event takes place. We do not know when that will be, but we do believe that He's coming. And that's why Sunday nights we are dealing with the book of the Revelation. We'll be in chapter 4 tonight. And chapter 4 begins the prophetic part of the book of Revelation. And so we'll be starting that in tonight's service. I have it to try to get complete chapter 4. I don't know. I'm not sure I can get out of the introduction of chapter 4 tonight. But we'll be starting in chapter 4, as that is the things that are hereafter. And from that point on, things begin to take on a little different light, a little bit different understanding, and we'll try to do our best to make those things as clear as possible. And time we get finished, we may not be any clearer than we were when we began. There are some things that are unanswered, some things we do not know and are not given to us. God reserves some things for Himself. And one thing for sure, the Scripture says one day we shall know as He knows, and we'll be like Him. But this morning, if you would, take your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Philippians, chapter number 3. The book of Philippians, chapter number 3. We'll be reading in verse number 17. And when you get to the chapter division, just don't stop there. We'll read verse number 1 in chapter number 4. Our chapter divisions, our verse divisions, are here to help us to be able to find certain things and to be able to know where certain verses are located. But these divisions were put there by the people that published later on, and some different things were there. These are not when it was written. When Paul wrote the book of Philippians, he didn't have chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4. He just had the letter to the church of Philippi. And we have divided it up, and we'll read this morning first verse, chapter 4, along with these other verses. So Philippians chapter 3, verse number 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, and joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I want us to think this morning upon the subject of stand fast in the Lord. It gives us here, Paul, as he writes, of course, we, as I made statement just a moment ago, we believe in the imminent return of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are not going to be dealing with the coming of the Lord tonight, this morning. But we believe that He is coming. And so therefore, when we see things that the Scripture tells us, we can know that we can be watchful. And then also there are times that we will have to stand, even against some of the tide that comes before us. We are one of these days going to be taken out of this world. We're going to leave here one way, one of two ways. We're going to leave by way of death, or we're going to leave by way of rapture, the catching away or the gathering unto Him. And one of those two ways, every one of us as a Christian, we're going to leave here. And we are certainly, I believe, in these last days that the Scripture talks about and gives us many details about that. And that's part of our study that we will be having in the book of the Revelation, of these last days and the continuation of ungodliness and how the Lord deals with that. And there are certain things that's going to take place that we are seeing, I believe, even before. And so The Apostle Paul says there are those that are enemies of the cross. We know that. We understand that there are people this morning that are enemies of the gospel. They're enemies of the good things that God gives to us, and especially the salvation of mankind. And so Paul says to mark them that does not walk in the example that Paul had given to this church of Philippi, because he says they are enemies of the cross, and he says their end is destruction. They're going to be destroyed. He tells us a little bit about them. Says who God is, their belly or their self-centeredness, only desiring what they want, and whose glory is their shame, and who mind earthly things, nothing heavenly, nothing spiritual about that type of person. And this morning I want us to deal, realizing that, he says, our conversation, and we've dealt with that a number of times, that word conversation means our citizenship. You and I as a Christian, we have a citizenship, not only in the United States, but we are citizens of heaven. We have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so our citizenship, our conversation is in heaven, and we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's that imminent return or the coming of our Lord. But until that takes place, he tells us in verse number 1 of chapter 4, therefore, that first word of chapter 4 refers us back to what has just been said that we've read in chapter 3. Because of all these things that we've read, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy, my crown, so stand fast in the Lord. How are we to survive? How are we to live in these days? We're to stand fast in the things of God. Certainly these days are days of what the Scripture calls a great falling away. There are people that are rejecting what they used to accept. There are folks that are totally going against and the things that are truth and things that are biblical. All across our country this morning we see religious things falling apart. We see organizations on the destructive path. We see churches that are no longer standing for truth. I got the information yesterday, First Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. That's one of the large churches. They now are open to same-sex marriage. They're open to membership. They're open to all those things. And I wish they'd drop the name Baptist, because they are not Baptists, not in the historical sense. They are not nowhere where we are. But here's a large church, and here's a large group of people, and they've opened themselves up to this particular thing. And we're in that great falling away. I got information yesterday also, televangelist that probably all of us have heard, and I don't say this destructive to him, but I think he's weak on what he said. T.D. Jakes, he says his thoughts are evolving on this thing of homosexuality. Evolving is on that. The Bible doesn't change. The Word of God doesn't change. And the message does not change. Now, sometimes we change, and many times we do change, but that does not change what God says in His Word. And so we are to stand fast in this day of a great falling away from that which used to be held and is truthful in the Word of God. We're in a day of a great failing. We see failure everywhere. We are under attack continually by the different guises and the different things of this world. We have humanism everywhere, that man is his own God. Man does what he wants to do. Man is his own boss. He can take care of everything. And in reality, man is just all that matters. That's called humanism. We have an attack of that. We have an attack of immorality. We have an attack of the news media that brainwashes and gives us only portions of the story and doesn't give us really the truth. We have pacifism that we just do not do anything about it. We just stand by and do nothing about it. And sometimes those that try to make a stand and try to do things, we are looked upon as the troublemakers, and we're the ones that's causing all the troubles in this world. But the Bible tells us to stand fast. And sometimes that standing causes a lot of difficulty. We have attack every direction, every way upon us. We have an anemic church, and I use the word church very loosely there, that is powerless, careless, worldly, and sort of like one that we studied last Sunday night in our Revelation study, the Church of Laodicea. They thought they had everything going their way. They were rich and had no need of anything, but God says, no, you're poor, you're miserable, you're wretched, you're blind, and you need me. And that's the church age in which we're living in right now, as those churches depict and show to us the history of the church. We're living in that last church age of Laodicea, and Laodicea means people's rights. Give me my rights. And we hear that everywhere, hear that continually. And so we are being bombarded with so many different things, and what are we to do? Paul just says simply to stand fast. He tells us there in verse number 1, stand fast in the Lord. We are seeing great changes across our country. I think in the last few months, we've seen more changes than we've seen in a lot of years. From the year 2000 on up to just recently, things made a vast change there. But boy, these last 6 or 8 months, things have really heated up. Things have changed so much in the thinking of the people of this country. And we are living in, I believe, disappointing days of that great change. People are preoccupied with their physical desires, their physical appetites, what they want, what they desire, at the cost of anybody else. The Bible says concerning this world, when we are to stand fast, Luke chapter 17, verse number 27 says, they did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. They were just doing their own thing. They were living the way they wanted to live, even though Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And the Bible says that God gave him a space of 120 years. Now, I believe Noah preached righteousness all those years, but yet when it's all said and done, there's 8 people got on the ark. Do I believe the story of Noah and the ark? I believe the story of Noah and the ark. I don't believe it's a mythology. I don't believe it's a myth. I don't believe it's just a story somebody cooked up. I believe it's a true message from God, what happened in this world. And the Bible says God looked upon mankind, and everything He saw was wicked, evil, continually. And the heart of man was darkened because of their sin. They have the attitude that, just live the way I want to live, and it does not matter. We've been taught for years, we've been given the idea for years, that we do not have to answer to anybody. Well, if there's no God, if there's no eternity, if we're just animals that have evolved up to where we are and we die and go back to the dust of the earth and there's no everlasting, no eternity, then why not live the way we want to live? It doesn't matter. Make myself happy now, because that's all that matters. And that's that humanistic philosophy. We have an attitude of, I know it all and I'm able to do. We have a disregard for sacred things. Things that are sacred, things that are righteous, things that are holy. We have it on an individual basis. We have it collectively in our country. Now we have it nationally, as far as the Supreme Court has said. It just does not matter. We live the way we want to live. We marry who we want to marry. It just does not matter. But it does matter to God. It matters to Him. I had Miss McElroy, I had a phone call yesterday. Boy, she was over here working, and I walked over there a few minutes. I said, man, I'm hot. I'd had a phone call, and this guy, he tried to tell me everything that needed to be taken care of in this world and how to do it. And he said, I don't live too far from you. We might try to visit your church. I just want to know what you believe. Well, they're not here this morning. About an hour's discussion, and he really got under my skin, and he knew he was getting there. And I told him, I said, now my phone is beeping. And so if it goes off, I don't hang up on anybody. If it goes off, you call me back. Well, it beeped that last time. He didn't call me back, and I didn't have his number. But his idea is that God is the creator of everything wicked, everything wrong, everything evil, just because He could have stopped it and didn't. We talked about the Word of God, and he had no idea what the Word of God was. I said, do you have a Scripture? Why, no, it's in my heart. I'm the Word of God. I said, okay. The book of Jeremiah says the heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. Who can know it? And he very strong on some doctrines that I understand, and we got some. And he just showed me the mindset of people that are trying to be religious, but they just do not have what it takes because they do not know the Lord. Oh, he may have a name, but he does not know the Lord I know. He called the Bible a fake book. He called Noah and the teaching of Noah a myth. And he said, surely nobody would believe that this world is just a few thousand years old. I said, you're talking to one. He said, really? He said, I thought everybody now was so educated that we knew better than that. No regard for sacred things. And I told him, I said, my friend, you've done tore apart the Word of God. You've done told me you do not believe it. I said, and we got on this thing of creation. I said, you need to go. He said, I've been to the Creation Museum. He said, didn't do me any good. I said, you know why? Because you had a preconceived idea of what you already believe. Nobody's going to change your notion. Nothing sacred. And so, this is the world in which we live. Not everybody around us is like us. I had to come to that reality one day. I thought, everybody's pretty sensible. I thought everybody's pretty down to earth on certain things, but I'll tell you what, the more you read people's words and the things they do and the things they say, you find out they're not like us because there's a difference and it's stated right here in this book. And it's not too popular. It's not too popular with the world. It's not too popular with people. And so we have the rejection of the inspired Word of God. And I do believe we have a book that we can depend upon, we can rely upon, and it tells us what is truth. And if we turn from that, the Scripture itself says we turn unto fables, just like a fairy tale. We have violence everywhere, and corruption in our society is at an all-time high. And what do we do? How do we live in this type of world? There was a wise man said one time, his name was Edmund Burke, he says, all that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. He had some other, I looked up a little bit about him. He had some other good saying. He was a politician. I say word politician, sometimes we don't think of too many good things. But he was a Irish politician. He was a philosopher. And he made these statements. He says, whenever a separation is made between liberty and justice, neither, in my opinion, are safe. How true that is. If we separate liberty and justice, then neither one of those things are safe. He says also, people never give up their liberties, but unless they're under some type of delusion. We don't give up things that we know are true. We don't give up unless we're deluded, unless we're confused on it. And therefore, he said, all that's necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. You know what that means? For good men not to stand. For good people not to make a statement, not to say, this is what we believe, this is what the Word of God gives. And it is not popular, it is not something that people flock to, but it is still truth, and Paul says, above all, to stand. Stand in the Lord. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 16:13, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quiet ye like men, be strong. Salvation, true salvation, is not for weak people. Now, there are a lot of weak people that are saved. But if we will stand true and stand firm, then we will find that God will bless and God will help us to accomplish His will for our life. How do we stand? Preacher, I hear you say all the time, we need to stand. How do we stand? How do we do this? How do we accomplish this? Being able to combat wickedness in our society. And by the way, that's one of the reasons the church is here. That's one of the reasons the Lord established His church, was that we were to contend for the faith and be vibrant Christians to serve Him. That we would contend for that which was righteous and holy. We're not to be on the second-hand store. We're not to be somebody's foot
footstool. We're not to be somebody's rug to walk on. We're to stand for truth, and we're to do that according to the Word of God. That doesn't make us popular. That doesn't make us too popular with people's ideas, especially in our politically correct, insane society in which we live. How do we stand? Number one, stand fast where you are. Where you are in the Word of God, where you are in the Scriptures. Stand fast. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Tremendous verse. 1 Corinthians 15:58. My beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable. What does that mean? Unmovable. It means you know where you stand. You know what you believe. You know where you are. There are some things that are not negotiable. There are some things we do not give and take on. There's no need to have a mediator because there's no room for mediation. Salvation is not negotiable. It's by the grace of God. It's through the faith that the Lord gives to us, that we can trust His dear Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. That's not negotiable. And somebody said, well, it might be a little bit of works. No, it's none of works, and this, we don't negotiate that. That's truth. And stand, therefore, immovable. The things that we believe and the things that we stand for, that we know are true, we stand in those areas. Now, I'll be the first to admit that there's been a lot of Christians that have been very contentious in their stand. They've been very wrong in their attitude. They've been very detrimental to the cause of Christ because of the way they come across. And especially of our group, so many times they're very arrogant in the things they say and the things they do. But that doesn't mean we to back up. That still means we to stand true and firm in God's Word and have the attitude that God gives us, that we love the world and we try to tell the world that Jesus loves them. And if they would come to Him, He would save them to the uttermost. That is not negotiable. Stand fast where you are. Stand in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:27. Let your conversation, there's that word again, let your way of life, your conversation, where you are, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Everything that we do this morning ought to be something that becomes the gospel of Christ. That means we should enhance the Lord Jesus. We should not bring about detriment to the cause of the Lord by our attitudes and our thoughts. We are to enhance, or we're to have this way of life wherefore that we it is becoming. You know what the word become means? A lady gets a new dress, or a man gets a new outfit, a new suit. Somebody says, that outfit becomes you. That means it looks good on you. And when we present the gospel, it ought to be one that looks good on the Lord. It ought to be one whereby we can give that message to somebody to make them realize that there is a loving Savior out there that will have them come if they will believe upon Him. Stand fast where we are. Stand fast in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship in the Spirit, He says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being in one accord and one mind. That's standing in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to be able to rejoice where we are. I'm glad where I am. I'm happy where God has put me. I'm happy with what I have before me. I rejoice in the salvation that the Lord has given to me. And Paul says in Philippians 3:1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous. Not grievous. It ought not be grievous to us. We ought to have joy in the Lord. I'm glad I'm saved this morning. I'm happy that I'm a Christian. I'm glad that I know that my name's written in heaven. I'm glad that when I die, I'm going to heaven. That's a rejoicing place that we are to stand in. People may disagree. People may fight against us, but should not rob us of our joy. Now, it may rob us of some of our happiness. By the way, happiness and joy, not the same thing. I can be happy this afternoon, my happiness can be gone. My circumstances. But my joy in the Lord is always there because of what He has done for me. And for what He has done for you. How are we to stand? Rejoicing in the Lord. I believe the world needs to see some happy Christians. Need to see somebody that has a little bit of joy in their heart, a little bit of joy in their life, and a bounce in their step to say, this world is not my home. I'm passing through. I'm going to heaven. And I'm joyous on the way going. I have the Lord, and I'm happy with what God has done. I may not be happy with everything I've done, but I'm happy with what He's done for me and what He's done with me. The world needs to see somebody with some joy, not all doom and gloom that we see so many times. How do we stand? How do we make a difference? How do we put forth the message? Know where you are. Know what you believe. Stand in that love of God and rejoice in that. And then never forget the element of prayer. To pray continually without ceasing. Asking God's blessings upon us. What's a part of prayer? James chapter 5 verse 16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. Who in here this morning would want to stand up and confess, here's my fault? If we were in the right spirit and the right attitude, we could do that and never leave these doors. But we live in a society, every time we hear something that's tragic and bad, we can't wait to get on the... used to be the telephone, now it's the internet. We can't wait to get on Facebook. I got to tell it. We're to stand praying one for another. I covet your prayers, and I hope you covet my prayers. I believe we ought to bind together to pray one for another because we're facing a world out there that despises what we stand for. We're facing a world that despises the totality of the Word of God and the Scriptures that are before us and where we stand on certain issues, whether it be religious, social, political. The world does not understand where we are, and we have to pray one for another, and we have to present it in the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. To trust Him. John chapter 14 says, peace I leave with you, Jesus writes, or he has John to write, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. Well, thank God for that. Not as the world giveth. He said, I leave my peace, but it's not like what the world gives, but I give it to you. But let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be what? Afraid. We live in fearful, troublesome days. We live in disturbing days. I turn on the news, I don't care what it is, and invariably something comes across that disturbs my heart. Because we live in a world, the Bible says, as the days of Noah were. We live in a world, as the Scripture says, as the days of Lot were. We live in a world that has turned against, and we're living in a nation that is turning against the very principles of its foundation. We're to trust because He says, I give you peace. Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, let the peace of God rule in your heart. It says, be thankful. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. We need to stand. Stand trusting. Stand praying. Stand rejoicing. Stand in love. Stand where we are. Stand pure. Pure in heart. Pure in testimony. Pure in our hope. Pure. Without blemish, that the Lord would be able to use us and bless us. How are we to stand in these days? We're to love one another, pray one for another, serve one another. We're to stand content. Now, I could spend a whole lot of time here. Stand content. Paul says, I've learned whatever state I'm in to be content. To be there with content. That means wherever God's put us, we need to be satisfied. And we live in a generation of dissatisfied people. We live in a religious world that is very dissatisfied with what they see. Many of them are dissatisfied with churches, and some of them rightfully so. Some people are just dissatisfied with life in general because it's not what they thought. But you and I this morning, if we're going to stand true to the Lord, then we must stand content with what God has given to us, that He has blessed us with. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat and what shall we drink? Wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek." Writing to the Jews, He said, don't be too interested in what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. That's three main important issues today. What we look like, how we live, what we do. And the Lord said, don't be worried about that. He said, that's what the Gentiles, that's what the heathen are interested in. He says on in that verse, says, "For your heavenly Father knoweth that we have need." Brother Tom, God knows your need. Brother Bradley, God knows your need. I could go down the aisles this morning and down the pews and call everybody's name. God knows our need. Therefore, I don't have to be burdened down and troubled because I have something that nobody knows about and I have a need that nobody cares about. Therefore, your Father which is in heaven knoweth your need. And we're to be content with that. That you have need of all these things. We have need of food, drink, water, clothing, housing. We have need of those things to pay the bills and take care of life. Oh, guess what? God knows I have that need. It's not taking Him by surprise. And He says here, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things." What's that? Your needs. "All these things shall be added unto you." How can I stand in this wicked world? Just trust the Lord. How can I stand? Just be content with what God has given to me and quit looking across the fence and across the aisle and across the country and find somebody who's got far better and far more. Just be content with what God gives you because usually that's just exactly what we can take care of. Sometimes we get so jealous of other people of what they have. That's a sin. Be content. If we're going to stand, if you're going to stand for the Lord, you have to be content. And know that I'm where I'm supposed to be. Know I believe what I'm supposed to believe. Know I'm living the way I'm supposed to live. And contented that God's given me exactly what I need to get the job done. Stand, therefore, in the Lord. Stand strong. In the Lord. You can't stand any stronger than that. In the Lord. Stand obedient. Obedient unto Him. Stand encouraged. The Bible says David was greatly distressed at some time in his life. You can read the writings of David and you can find ups and downs. David, the great king of Israel, but he had his ups and downs. And he was discouraged. And he was distressed. 1 Samuel 30 and verse 6, the Old Testament. David was distressed because the Bible says here the people spake of stoning him. They were going to kill him. They were going to stone him. But the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now I can turn on CNN news and I'm discouraged. I can turn on Fox News and I'm discouraged. I can turn on NBC, ABC, CBS, whatever all the other initials are, I can turn them all on and be discouraged. I can be discouraged what I see people do. I can be discouraged what I see God's people do. I can be discouraged because of churches. It discouraged me to read a historic Baptist church. The first president of the Southern Baptist Convention came out of First Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. 45 or 65, one of those two. First president. And here now that church has moved so far away from God. Huge church. Next time Brother David comes, I'm going to ask him if he ever goes there. I'm sure not. But we find They've moved so far away from God that they do not even consider. And they left the Southern Baptist Convention years ago because it was too conservative for them, and so they joined that more liberal crowd. And their colors show, but that's discouraging to God's people. It's discouraging to me. But I can be encouraged in the Lord. There's nothing that He has ever done to discourage me. David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. How do we do that? The Scripture says in the New Testament, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as we see the day approaching. That word exhort means to build up. We ought to exhort each other. We ought to say, Brother Tom, stay faithful. Brother Earl, stay faithful. Exhort each other to live for God and to honor the Lord and to stand truthful in the things of God, to be that Christian that God wants us to be. Exhort each other. I've had some people, and you've had folks in your life that were just good exhorters. That means they encourage you. When you're down, they know how to say words of encouragement. When your head's hanging low or your heart's broken, sometimes people just come up and say the right things. They are exhorters. And the Scripture says here that we are to exhort one another. Where at? In the assembly. What is that? That's the ecclesia. That's the church of the living God. Stand assured that He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. When my mother, my father, my brother, my sister, when they all leave me, God's always there. When the world turns its back, God's still there. Therefore, I can stand in the Lord. Stand praising Him, honoring, knowing that I can declare His name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church, I will sing Hebrews 2:12. How do we combat this attitude? Just stand. Is it easy? No. Is it difficult? Yes. Will you gain friends? Yes. Oh, but you'll lose friends also. You'll lose people that you thought was very dear and very close. You'll lose friends that, well, I just don't believe that anymore. And they don't have anything to do with you anymore because you're too narrow-minded. Too much Bible. Can't get too much Word of God. I will hide Thy Word in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against Him. May God help us as Grace Baptist Church, as individual Christians, to stand. And Paul says in another place, he says, and having done all, as you've done it all, do you back up? Do you sit down? Do you give up? Paul says, and having done all, one word, stand. That's what he says to do. Just stand. Stand your ground. Doesn't matter what anybody says. Just be sure you got this behind you. Not your opinion, not somebody else's opinion, not your preacher's opinion. Stand upon the Word of God. And we do that. The Lord has promised to be right there with us. The history of the church has been written by the blood of the saints because they stood. The blood of the martyrs, those that were willing to die for what they believed. And most of us have a problem living for what we believe, much less dying. But thank God, when we stand, He says, I'll be right there with you. I'll be that undergird. I'll be that one supporter. I'll be that one that will help you. And He told Ezekiel, said, don't fear their faces. Don't fear their looks. Just stand. May God help us this morning to be true, because these things that we'll be dealing with in the Revelation, we'll be starting tonight. This place right here is where we start tonight. We've covered these seven churches, which represent the seven ages of the church. Tonight we'll be dealing with this little area right here. And then we'll go from there. That's why we stand, because that is going to happen. And what the Word of God gives to us will happen. May God help us to stand. Let's do that at this time. Let's stand together.